بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. One narration. Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma, he says, لَمَّا أَهْبَطَ اللَّهُ آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ إِنِّي مُهْبِطٌ مَعَكَ بَيْتًا أَوْ مَنْزِلًا يُطَافُ حَوْلَهُ كَمَا يُطَافُ حَوْلَ عَرْشِي وَيُصَلَّى عِنْدَهُ كَمَا يُصَلَّى عِنْدَ عَرْشِي. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Adam alayhi salam from Jannah to earth, He said to him that I'm going to send with you a house, a bait. People will do tawaf around it, just as angels do tawaf around the arsh. And people will perform salah next to this bait, this home, or this house, just like the angels perform salah around the arsh. Around the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are angels. At the end of Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِّينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ. You will see the malaika, the angels, they are in huge groups around the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do tawaf and they perform ibadah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Adam alayhi salam, when I send you to earth, there will be a home over there. There will be a house there. People will do tawaf around this place just like malaika did. And Adam alayhi salam saw the malaika doing the tawaf, performing the salah. And people will perform salah around this house as well. Then the narration says, فَلَمَّا كَانَ زَمَنُ الطَّافُونَ رُفِعَ. In the time of the طافون, the طوفان, طوفان of Nuh alayhi salam. The طوفان is the flood of Sidna Nuh alayhi salam. In that time period, رُفِعَ, the bait, or this is the baitullah, the Kaaba Sharifa, it was lifted up, it was preserved, it was saved. So it didn't drown under the water. وَكَانَ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ يَحُجُّونَهُ وَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ مَكَانَهُ. The Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam would all do Hajj of the Kaaba. So the different Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, they would go to the place of the Kaaba, they would do Hajj around it, but they wouldn't know the exact location. They wouldn't know the exact location because the Kaaba was taken away during the Tufan. فَبَوَّأَهُ لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam to rebuild the Kaaba. So where the Kaaba was in the time of Adam alayhi salam, it was there. Then in the Tufan of Nuh alayhi salam, the flood of Nuh, it was removed. And since then, till the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, its exact location was not known. But the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam would go and do tawaf around that area. They didn't have the bait there, the Kaaba as we know it. In the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the command to Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail to rebuild the Kaaba, and they built the Kaaba. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at the end of that hadith, he says, فَتَمَتَّعُوا مِنْهُ مَسْتَطَعَتُمْ. Take as much benefit as you can of this bait of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you have that opportunity. So we have a huge opportunity. We have the Baytullah. We know where the Kaaba is. The previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were commanded to go to the location and do the tawaf and do the hajj, but they didn't have the bait as we do. And this was a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to humanity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in Surah Al-Baqarah, how the Kaaba Sharifa was built by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam so that people may come and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now every Muslim knows we do not worship the Kaaba. Every single Muslim knows we don't worship the Kaaba. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Kaaba represents our unity. As an ummah, we all face towards the Kaaba, irrespective of where we are in the world. We're in America, we're going to face east, because that's what the Kaaba is. People in China, people in the east, people in India, etc., they're going to face west. So there is a unity in the ummah. There is no sectarianism, there's no separation. We're all unified in facing the Kaaba Sharifa. It represents the focal point of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy on earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descends directly upon the Kaaba Sharif and all the different masajid that are connected. When a person builds a masjid, there's a connection that is made to the Kaaba Sharif. And we can take from that nur of the Kaaba. And so this is a huge ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith, take benefit of it while you can. And as we know, one of the signs of Qiyamah, the last ages of humanity on earth, the Kaaba will be removed. There will be a person named Dhu Sawiqatayn. He's going to be from Abyssinia. He will come, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us that in one hadith he says, as if I can see Dhu Sawiqatayn destroying the Kaaba. A man will come, he will break the Kaaba Sharif. He will have a spear and an axe, and he will break it along with his army. He will come and destroy the Kaaba Sharif. After that, there will be no more Hajj. So Hajj, there's one hadith that Hajj and Jihad are going to continue till Yawm al-Qiyamah, but that is the break-off point. There will be no more Hajj after that. So we are in a good position, inshallah, that we have the ability to go and see the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Baytullah, where there's a lot of nur, where there's a lot of barakah, where there's a lot of blessings. And as we know, the Ramadan season is over, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing us for the next season, which is the season of Hajj. So right when the season of Ramadan, and as I was mentioning so many times before, the season of Ramadan starts from Rajab. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making dua, Allah, give me barakah in Rajab and Sha'ban, and allow me to witness Ramadan. So 3 months in the preparation for the blessed month of Ramadan. And then we have almost another 3 months or 2 months before the next major ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends upon us, and that is Hajj. It's as if the preparation that was done in Rajab, Sha'ban, in Ramadan spiritually is to get us acclimated to spiritual exercise so that it can also culminate in Hajj itself. So everything we've been doing, Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, then we have Shawwal, and then we have Dhul Qa'adah, also in another preparation for another huge ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory upon us. So we should use this time, those of us who are willing and who have made that intention, to go and fulfill this faridah, this farad action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, has imposed upon us. We should start preparing. Hajj is not something you just walk into and do, and you make a niyyah one day and tomorrow you go and do. It's a preparation. We have to prepare spiritually to understand how we are going to have the Hajj. And that is why in the hadith, inshallah, I will share today, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the reward that is attached to Hajj is not just a Hajj. There is a condition, Hajjun Mabrur. You may have heard this term, Hajjun Mabrur, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always says. A pious Hajj, an accepted Hajj. It's not just a Hajj, which indicates there are some people who are doing the Hajj, but they're not doing the Hajjun Mabrur. So what is the Hajjun Mabrur? How do we do the Hajjun Mabrur? Inshallah, we'll talk about that. Before that, let's talk a little bit about the rewards of Hajj. Just to motivate ourselves, for those who are going, inshallah, all the more motivation. For those of us who are not going to be going, inshallah, it'll strengthen the niyyah and the desire to go see the Baytullah and perform the rites of Hajj. In one hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, Al-Umrah ila al-Umrah kafaratun lima baynahuma. One Umrah to the next Umrah, which indicates that we should do many Umrahs. We should try to do Umrah often. This is the lesser Hajj, and you can do it any time other than the season of Hajj. We should do as many as we can. You know, this is the type of tourism that Islam encourages. Visit the Bayt of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Masjid Nabawi. This is what we're encouraged to do. So from one Umrah to the next, everything in between will be forgiven. So imagine you did Umrah, 10 years later you do another Umrah. Al-Umrah ila al-Umrah kafara lima baynahuma. From one Umrah to the next, everything in between is erased. All the sins are gone. This is a huge ni'mah. If we've done one Umrah, and this indicates you have to do two at least. At least do two Umrahs so that everything in between is forgiven. So you could have done an Umrah when you were very young. And now if you're very old, you can do another Umrah. Inshallah, it'll cover everything in between. وَالْحَجُّ الْمَبْرُورِ لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, As for the Hajj Mabrur, again he uses this term, Hajj Mabrur, not just a normal Hajj. A Hajj Mabrur, there is no reward for Hajj Mabrur except for Jannah. That's the reward for Hajj Mabrur. If you can do a Hajjun Mabrur, you are going to have Jannah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says. So this is a huge reward for Umrah, and an even greater reward for the Hajj. In another narration, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said, Hajju, فَإِنَّ الْحَجَّ يَغْسِلُ الثُّنُوبُ كَمَا يَغْسِلُ الْمَاءُ الدَّرَنِ. Perform Hajj, because Hajj will wash away all of your sins just as water washes away dirt. Imagine, we wash our clothing, we wash so many things, we wash our cars, we wash everything, we use water to wash, because this is the best way to wash. Similarly, the best way to remove our sins is Hajj. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is comparing with water. Water, you know, you can't imagine anything that's better than water to clean. Also, we cannot imagine anything better to remove the filth that we have attained in our hearts, spiritually, than by doing the Hajj, than by doing the Umrah. These are huge ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who are able to go. And those of us who cannot go, we should always have this in our du'as. Allah, allow me to go continuously. We should have that in a part of our du'as. You know, we have these certain fixed du'as that we all have. Let's include that in our fixed du'as. Allah, allow us to go to Umrah again and again, and Hajj again and again. Some people are so lucky, they go almost every year. And for whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, this is possible. In another narration, Umar bin al-As radiyallahu anhu, he was in his deathbed. He was about to pass away. This is a very famous sahabi, Umar bin al-As. His son, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, also a very famous sahabi, one of the great ulama of the Ummah, Abdullah ibn Amr. But Amr ibn As, he's considered the conqueror of Egypt. The conqueror of Egypt. So Egypt was maftuh, or conquered, under the hands of this great general of Islam. He was known, just like Khalid bin Walid is known to be one of the greatest generals of Islam, also Amr ibn As was one of the great generals of Islam, spent his life conquering and fighting for the sake of Islam. He was on his deathbed and he was crying. And so the narrator, he came and he visited Amr ibn As. And so Amr ibn As was recalling a scenario. He was crying because he missed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was remembering when he accepted Islam and all of those things. You know, when we're about to pass away, our life flashes before our eyes. This was happening to him. So he said to this person who was visiting him, فَلَمَّا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْإِسْلَامَ فِي قَلْبِي أَتَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the love of Islam in my heart, Amr ibn As is talking, recounting when he became Muslim. When Allah put the love of Islam in my heart, I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, Amr ibn As and Khalid bin Walid were staunch against Islam. They used to fight against Islam. They were part of the Quraysh and leaders among the Quraysh. And they were great generals for the Quraysh. They fought against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Later on, after Fath Makkah, or in the period before that, Amr ibn As, he accepted Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the truth of Islam in his heart. The love of Islam was there. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, ubsut yaminak li ubayi'aka. O Rasulullah, give me your hand, give me your right hand so I can pledge my allegiance to you. So he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was a great victory for Islam. As we know, when Umar radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, that was also a great victory for Islam. These great generals, when they come into Islam, great people, this is a victory for Islam. So he was known to be a great general of the Quraysh. He said, O Rasulullah, give me your right hand so I can do bay'ah, so I can pledge my allegiance to you, to Allah, to deen. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took my hand. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reaching for the hand, he gave his hand out to Amr ibn As. Amr ibn As took his hand back. فَقَبَضْتُ يَدِي, I took my hand back. فَقَالَ مَالَكَ يَا عَمَرُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what's wrong? What happened, Amr? Why did you take your hand back? قَالَ أَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَشْتَرِطْ. He said, I want to make a condition. Before I give my pledge of allegiance to you and Allah and to Islam, I want to make a condition before I do so. Because after I pledge allegiance, I won't have this opportunity. I want to make a bargain while I can. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَشْتَرِطْ مَاذَا. Well, what do you want to make a condition for? What is your condition? Let me hear it. قَالَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لِي. I want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives me. That's my condition. If He forgives all of the things I fought against you, I fought against the Muslims. I was staunch against this mission of yours. I can't forgive myself for what I've done. If Allah forgives me, if you forgive me, I'm going to do the bay'ah. Otherwise, I don't know what to do. This is the bargain that he was trying to make with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wanted forgiveness. That's all he wanted. He didn't want wealth. He didn't want anything else. He was focused on the akhirah because the reality of Islam entered his heart, and now he realized nothing in this dunya is important if I don't have the rahmah, the mercy of Allah, if I don't have the allegiance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him and he said, "Ama alimta ya Amr anna al-Islam yahdimu ma kana qabla?" Don't you know, Amr, that if you accept Islam, everything before it's erased. Al-Islamu yahdimu ma kana qabla, everything before it destroys everything. Only good is left behind. So whatever you've done, you killed maybe some Sahaba before. You fought against me. Maybe you said something bad against me. That's all forgiven. Islam will erase everything before it. وَأَنَّ الْهِجْرَةَ تَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهَا. And didn't you know that when someone does hijrah, this was the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, going, struggling, leaving Makkah behind, and going to Medina, that erases everything. It erases every single sin. وَأَنَّ الْحَجَّ يَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهُ. And didn't you know that if someone does hajj, it will remove everything before it. Every single sin that you've done, it's erased. So these are the three things that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Amr radiallahu anhu. He didn't know. So he was trying to make a condition that I want to be forgiven. But by accepting Islam, he was already forgiven. Everything is going to be removed. Similarly, those who could do hijrah. Now, we don't have these opportunities. Alhamdulillah, we're already Muslim. So it's not that all of our sins are going to be forgiven. We've already accepted. We don't have the hijrah anymore. The hijrah was in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in one hadith, he says, "La hijrata ba'd al-fath." After Fathu Makkah, there's no official hijrah anymore. That was in the time of Rasulullah. We don't have that option. But we have the third option, and this is why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned it in the hadith. If you want this type of reward that the Sahaba had available to them, the only option left is Hajj. Hajj will remove everything before it. So when you and I perform Hajj, there's another hadith that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to mention. It is as if the day that our mothers gave birth to us. Imagine, a newborn child. What sin has that child done? We say they're ma'asum, they're innocent. If they pass away in that state, they're going to Jannah. They're going to be a bird in Jannah. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is comparing our situation after a hajj mabrur to that. Imagine, absolutely nothing against us, only things for us. And we're even better than a newborn child. Why? Because the newborn child has no deeds in their record. We have a hajj mabrur. All of the deeds you've done is going to be there. It's going to be preserved. But all of the sins are just going to be erased. This is the benefit of the hajj. In one narration, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Al-hujjaj wal-ummar wafdullah in da'awhu ajabahum and istaghfaruhu ghafara lahum." Those who do hajj and those who do umrah, they are the guests of Allah. So the comparison that's being made here, when someone comes to our home, they are a guest. What happens when someone comes to our house? It is very bad if we don't entertain those guests. We're going to have food ready. We're going to be there. We're going to talk to them. We're going to entertain them. If they need anything, we're going to be at their service. They are in our responsibility when they come to our home. When we do hajj and we do umrah, we are the guests of Allah. We are visiting the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Baytullah. If we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that situation, He will answer. The duas are readily accepted when we go for hajj or umrah. And if we seek His forgiveness, He will forgive us. In another narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that if we make dua for someone else while we're in hajj or umrah, they will be forgiven as well. So anyone going for hajj, please remember us, remember myself and all of the sinners here, that we are great sinners, and when you go for hajj, make dua for us, inshaAllah, so that we may be forgiven as well. And inshaAllah, you will be forgiven. In another narration, those who experience Yawm Arafah, this is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, day before Eid, for them who go for hajj, is Yawm Nahar, is Eid, the day before that, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. If a person does not believe that they've been forgiven, then they're doing wrong. Meaning you will absolutely be forgiven, inshallah. In another narration, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما من يوم أكثر من أن يعتق الله فيه عبدا من النار من يوم عرفة. There is no day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees the slaves from Jahannam more than يوم عرفة, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. This is the day before our Eid. On that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that the most people are going to be freed from the fire of Jahannam. People's names are being written down. This person's free from Jahannam. This person's free from Jahannam. That happens most on يوم عرفة. We saw many ahadith, and Laylatul Qadr also happens. Allah frees people from Jahannam. On every night of Ramadan, this happens as well. But this is the most where it happens. The most people get their names in that register. So we should really, those who are going for Hajj and those who are staying behind, on يوم عرفة, really plead with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg Allah that your name is on that roster. Because it's most likely it's going to be on that day if we are forgiven. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُ ثُمَّ يُبَاهِ بِهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ فَيَقُولُ مَا أَرَادَ هَؤُلَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descends and enshrouds everyone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts to his malaika and he says, what do these people want? On يوم عرفة, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, those of you who have gone for Hajj, the thing that you do on يوم عرفة is dua. The whole day you make dua, you stand for those who have endurance, they stand out in the sun, they make dua for hours and hours standing. That's the job that you have to do. يوم عرفة, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, is to make dua. On that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts to his malaika. There are very few situations where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will boast to the malaika. Why does this happen? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was creating Adam alayhi salam, the malaika, they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, are you going to place these warmongers on earth? They saw what humans were made of, and they realized that humans, they like to fight and they kill each other. So malaika understood this, just looking at the makeup of human beings. So they asked Allah, not out of, defiance, but out of curiosity. The malaika are very curious creatures. They asked Allah, that you're going to put this creation on earth, they're going to cause a lot of bloodshed. Why? They wanted to know the hikmah behind it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, I know what you don't know. And in many situations throughout the year, Laylatul Qadr is one of them. And this is another one in Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the malaika, see, this is what I knew. This is what I was alluding to. You didn't know this. You thought that they were going to go on earth and kill each other. Look, these are my chosen slaves. They're not killing anyone. They're worshipping me more than you are. How? You have no obstacle to your ibadah. These people, they get tired. They're hungry. They're hot. They're sleepy. They go through difficulty. They have their desires weighing against them. They have the desires of dunya pulling them. They have shaitan trying to take them away. Yet they are worshipping me. Now take witness, bear witness that I am boasting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes our names. And he's boasting to the malaika. Look, Zayd is doing ibadah. Abdullah is doing ibadah. Amina is doing ibadah. This is what I was telling you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on يوم عرفة to the malaika, مَا أَرَادَ هَؤُلَاء. What do they want? This is like the king. When someone comes to the king and is in good favor with the king will say, what do you want? Name your price. Whatever you want, you have it. On يوم عرفة, Allah will ask this. For those of us who are doing the Hajj, on يوم عرفة, Allah will say, what do you want? So we need to have a good imagination. On that day, start making a list. If you have no imagination, you didn't think it through, what dua are you going to make? Allah, I want good health. I want a lot of money. I want to go to Jannah. Be more imaginative. Have more imagination. Be more imaginative. Think of everything you want. And in the ahadith that talk about Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to the last person to enter Jannah. The last person to enter Jannah. This person was in Jahannam for a very long time. And he made it out through the mercy of Allah. He's crawling out of Jahannam. Maybe millions of years he's been in Jahannam. This is the last person. Allahu alam, how long this person is going to be in Jahannam. And he will be burnt to a crisp. And on his journey, he's going to be crawling towards Jannah. Allahu alam, how many hundreds or thousands of miles this is. He will take a bath in a river, and all of that ash and that burntness, the burnt skin will come off. And then, when he approaches the gates of Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him. He will think it's full. He will say, oh Allah, you're telling me to go into Jannah, but it's full. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, okay, tell me what you want. Tell me what you think Jannah is full, tell me what you want. So he's going to make a list. He's going to start saying, okay, I want this, I want this, I want this. That's where my mind is telling me, my imagination is, you know, telling me I want all of these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, okay, ask for more. You're not asking enough. Tell me more. So he keeps saying, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to keep telling him, tell me more, is that it? Eventually this person will run out. He won't be able to ask anymore. His imagination will run out and he will say, I can't think of anything else to ask you. I'll just repeat the same thing again. And so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, that would you be happy if I give you everything that you've asked and 10 times what you've asked? And then this person will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, are you making fun of me? You're the Lord of the universe and you're making fun of me. I have nothing. I escaped Jahannam through your mercy and you're making fun of me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, I'll give you this entire dunya, what it comprised of, and 10 times this dunya. This is the last person to enter Jannah. So we have to be imaginative. We have to be able to make dua, especially on Yom Arafah. That is the time where we make dua. Now, coming to Hajj Mabrur, what is the Hajj Mabrur? How do we do it? In one narration, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said, "Man ata hadha al-bayt, falam yarfuth, walam yafsuq, raja'a kama waladathu ummu." Two conditions. A person who comes to the bayt of Allah, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Hajj or Umrah, and they do not do rafath, and they do not do fusuq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. You cannot do these three things when you go for Hajj. One is called rafath, one is called fusuq, one is called jidal. What are these three things? Rafath is speaking in a lewd manner, incorrect way, immoral way. Referring to what men and women talk about when they're in seclusion, we cannot do any of those things. Nothing of that nature. That's rafath. Fusuq is general speaking of sin, inclining towards sin, trying to do sin. And jidal is argumentation. So you cannot argue with people. And in Hajj, that's when people argue the most. Why? Because they're uncomfortable. Men are wearing the ihram, they're uncomfortable. It's very hot, especially now it's going to be the summertime. The agents are probably not doing their job. You don't know if they've slaughtered your animal for you or not. What's happening? You're going to pick up the phone, you're going to start yelling at them. Then your Hajj Mabrur is gone. Your argumentation. You cannot argue with anyone in Hajj. You have to let things slide. You have to be patient. You have to watch what you say. You have to watch how you behave. You cannot incline towards sin. This is what Hajj Mabrur is all about. In another narration about the virtues of Hajj, Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, nara al-jihad afdal min afdalul amal. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this, that jihad fi sabilillah. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest amal, even today, the greatest amal, if a person can give their life for Allah when the appropriate time comes, there's nothing greater than that. This person, imagine, someone sacrificing their life for Allah. What can be greater? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would talk to the Sahaba about this. They saw ayat of the Quran about this. They were very hyped up. They were very excited for Hajj, for jihad. And many Sahaba, we know, they gave their life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're the shuhada. They're going to have the highest ranks in the hereafter. So the Nisa, the ladies amongst the Sahaba, they became worried. They also had a great zeal for A'mal. And they said that in the Quran and what you say, O Rasulullah, we see that jihad is the greatest thing. But you don't allow us to fight. We can't join the ranks and fight. We want to fight. So the women amongst the Sahaba, they wanted to fight. This is their zeal for A'mal, their zeal to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't care what it was. They didn't care if they would be killed. They knew that the reward waiting in store for them, and they didn't care if they had to fight men, the mushrikeen, they were ready to fight. So then Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, O Rasulullah, we see that jihad is the greatest amal. Shouldn't we do jihad as well? Why are we left out? The women are saying, why are we left out? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La, lakinna afdalul jihad hajjun mabrur. No, fighting for you is jihad. The greatest jihad for women is Hajj Mabrur. This is a huge ni'mah for the sisters, the women. For men, after there's another hadith I will share with you, jihad is greater than Hajj. For women, their jihad is Hajj. They will get the reward of a shaheed, or the person that goes out, a ghazi, a person that fights for Allah, if they do Hajj. Men don't necessarily get that reward. Imagine that. They can still, we don't have jihad, where are we going to go? How are we going to do jihad? Women, they can do jihad still today. They get the reward of jihad. We don't get that. Why? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that their jihad is Hajj. In a hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, Ayyul amal afdal, which action is greatest? He said, Iman billah wa rasuli. Having Iman in Allah and His Rasul, that's the greatest amal you can do. Alhamdulillah, we've all done the greatest amal. So you should have hope. When we have Iman, we're already, and you're always in the state of Iman. When you're sleeping, when you're talking, when you're walking, everything, you're always with Iman. That's the greatest amal. Then they asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, okay, after Iman in Allah and His Rasul, what's the greatest amal? Al-jihadu fi sabilillah. Fighting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Sahaba, they gave their life. And then they asked, what's after that? He said, Hajjun mabrur. The third greatest thing is Hajj mabrur. So you and I, the greatest amal we can do is Hajj mabrur. We already have Iman. What are we going to do? Jihad. There's no call for jihad right now. There's no jihad. So Hajjun mabrur, that's going to be the greatest amal. And remember in the previous hadith, for women, it replaces that second level. They get their reward for Hajj is jihad itself. So they're very lucky in that regard. Another narration from Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, Ya Rasulullah, ala nisa jihad? Do the women have to do jihad? He said, Na'am, yes, women have to do jihad. Alayhinna jihad, la qitala fihi. Their jihad has no fighting in it though. The women's jihad has no fighting. Al-hajju wal-umrah. These are the jihad for women. So, bashara for women. Women have some bashara as well. It's not like what people think. Yes, Islam treats men and women differently. But that doesn't mean we're not equal. Equality doesn't mean you have the same thing. Right? Men and women are created differently. Equality is different. It doesn't mean that it's the same thing. Women, they get the reward that men get when they come for jama'ah, when they're at home. When women pray salah at home, they get the reward of you and I when we come to the masjid. When women perform hajj, they get the reward of jihad. When you and I perform hajj, we don't get the reward of jihad. We get the reward of hajj. So this is the equality of Islam. And I've surpassed the time. I want to take a little bit more time. Please have some patience. I have a few more hadith to go, inshallah. I'll just read them and then we'll be done. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another narration, a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Inni jaban wa inni da'if. I'm cowardly. I find myself. I can't fight. You talk about jihad. It's very difficult for me. I can't do it. I'm weak. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Halumma ila jihadin la shawkata fihi al-hajj. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then you, for you, because you're very cowardly, you can't fight. You're very weak, you're frail, and you're scared. For you, there is a special jihad. There is no difficulty in that. There's no fighting in it. That's your hajj. In another narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, Jihadul kabir wal da'if wal mar'a al-hajj wal umrah. The jihad for the elderly, the jihad for the weak, and the jihad for women is hajj and umrah. They get the reward of jihad. So even men who are elderly or very weak, they get the reward of hajj, of jihad when they go for hajj. Now, what is hajj mabrur? Scholars say one of three things. الَّذِي لَا يُخَالِطُهُ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. You don't do any sins in the hajj. It's not easy. You have to train yourself. You don't do sin. Number two, it can also mean the hajj that is maqbool, that is accepted. You do everything in hajj correctly and you stay away from sin. And the third opinion is the hajj in which when the person returns home from hajj, they are a changed person. If you've seen some people, they became a haji, they've done hajj and they come home and they're changed completely. They've done a tawbah. They don't return back to the sins they were doing. This is a sign that they've done hajj mabrur. So all of those rewards we were talking about, they get those. Now, two more hadith, and I will stop. Two more hadith as a warning. We need to hear the what's called targhib, are the virtues. We also need to hear tarheeb, which are the warnings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He always gives both. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him Bashir and Nadir. Bashir, the bringer of glad tidings, the one who congratulates, the one who causes people to rejoice. Nadir, the warner, the bringer of warnings, the bringer of azab. He's both. In one narration, narrated by Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من ملك زادا وراحلة تبلغه إلى بيت الله الحرام فلم يحج فلا عليه أن يموت يهوديا أو نصرانيا وذلك أن الله يقول ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. In Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said on the authority of Ali radiallahu anhu, he who has the ability to go for Hajj, zadan wa rahila, he has enough wealth that he can reach the Kaaba Sharif and he can do the Hajj, he has enough money for food as well, and he does not do Hajj, then I don't care if that person dies as a Jew or a Christian, they're not a proper Muslim. This person is not a Muslim. You have the ability to go for Hajj and you don't. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I don't care if he dies as a Jew or a Christian. I have nothing to do with that person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is a right that we have, it is Allah's right upon us that we do Hajj of His bait, those who have the ability to go. So there is a condition, we have to have the ability. But once the ability is there, you must go. And the last hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, مَنْ لَمْ تَحْبِسْهُ حَاجَةٌ ظَاهِرَةٌ أَوْ مَرَضٌ حَابِسٌ أَوْ سُلْطَانٌ جَابِرٌ وَلَمْ يَحُجَّهُ فَلْيَمُوتْ إِنْ شَاءَ يَهُودِيًا وَإِنْ شَاءَ نَصْرَانِيًا. That person who is not prevented and there is no barrier of any necessity. There is no barrier. Whatever that might be, حَاجَةٌ ظَاهِرَةٌ. A necessity is preventing this person. If that's not there, أَوْ مَرَضٌ حَابِسٌ. Or if they're not so sick that they cannot move. They're not that sick. أو سلطانٌ جابر, or there's not a tyrant that's preventing them. If these three aren't there, they don't have a necessity that's blocking them, they're not so sick that they cannot move, and there is no tyrant blocking them, and they don't do Hajj, then let them die as a Christian or a Jew. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has nothing to do with them. These are great warnings to hear from our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember on Yawm al-Qiyamah, there is going to be the hold of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the lake of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will give those in his ummah to drink from that lake. In the narrations it says, the water is whiter than honey, is whiter than milk, and sweeter than honey. And the person that drinks from even a drop from the hold kawthar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will never experience thirst ever again. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will actually, there's cups, and then another narration say, the glasses around this lake will shine like stars. And when we approach Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah, he will give it to us with his hands. He will feed us. He will give us this water to drink. But there are people that he will turn away from. Those who did not follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will try to give them the water, and then the angels will tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't know what they did. After you passed away, they didn't follow anything that you told them. So then he will turn away from them. Imagine you approach the lake of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has the cup, the goblet, he's given it to you. He says, drink. I know you're thirsty. You're standing for thousands of years and the sun is right above your head. After you drink this, you're never going to feel thirst again. Have it. Angels come and say, wait, don't give it to that person. You don't know what they did. After you passed away, yeah, they said that they were in your ummah. They didn't follow anything that you said. Turn away. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to turn away from them. So this is what he's talking about. Those who have the ability to go for Hajj and they don't do so, I have nothing to do with them. Die as a Christian, die as a Jew, I don't care. So this is a huge warning. Let us heed this warning of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we have the ability, let us go for Hajj. It doesn't matter what price it is. The price of Akhirah, as we talked about before, إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةً. The merchandise of Allah is very expensive. It's not cheap. If you think Jannah is cheap, you're foolish. The merchandise of Allah is expensive. The merchandise of Allah is Jannah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to realize the makana, the level, the fada'il, the virtues of Hajj, and allow us to go to His house. It's only through the tawfiq of Allah. We have to make dua. Those of us going, congratulations, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the time. You start now. Turn to Allah. Pray tahajjud. Cry to Allah. Ask for acceptance. It starts from now. It doesn't start the week before Hajj. Ask for a Hajj mabrur. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give if we ask. Those of us who are not going, let us start saving. Let us start making dua, practically saving and spiritually making dua to Allah. Add this in your daily duas. Allah, allow me to go for Hajj and Umrah over and over again. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq. Wa sallallahu tabarak wa ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.